It is indeed a great joy for my wife and I to be here with you all again, Taiping Gospel Hall. I'm here this morning to speak on the year of the horse. And you will recall that that was in connection with Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year fell on 31st January, and I started doing this series at 12th January, Butterworth Gospel Hall, 19th in Sungai Ara Gospel Hall in Penang, 26th at Island Gates Gospel Center, 20th on the 2nd February at Bumrungrad Gospel Hall, and on the 9th, Bukit Mertajam, and last week I was at Bumrungrad Gospel Hall, the Chinese Speaking Assembly. And today I gathered into Taiping Gospel Hall. And it's great, indeed a great joy to be among you as I talk on this Year of the Horse. Some of you may be wondering what this Year of the Horse actually is. Now, in fact, in real fact, this study on the Year of the Horse started right back in 1978. That will be the Year of the Horse. 1990, 2002, and today 2014. Now, that will be 36 years ago already since I first gave my first mass study on the Year of the Horse. Many of you would not remember this study if I had given it before you to you before, because I think some of you were not even born at that time. But this year's study is very special because this is the first time I give this study with PowerPoint. In 2002, there was no PowerPoint for me to use. It was just speaking, and no pictures. But this year, it is more interesting and hopefully more impacting on what I'm going to pass on over to you. Now, firstly, as a matter of introduction, that is the horse that I would like to talk about. Why is the horse so important? What is its significance? Now, in history, the horse played a very mighty role. For example, the Mongols to the northwest of China would attack China with their horses. And because of this, the Chinese were afraid, and, well, they built the Great Wall of China to prevent all these nomadic forces and enemies entering into their territory. And so the Great Wall of China was built, and we find that the horse played a very important part also in the history of Alexander the Great when he conquered the world at that time, and he was using horses too. So the horse in history was a very mighty military animal in warfare. That's the horse in history very briefly. But many of you would connect the year of the horse with the horoscope, feng shui, and astrology, and so on. Now, I need to say something about this before you all misunderstand me. Very often when we look at the horoscope in the papers and so on, we have such predictions by these astrologers and these so-called prophets of what kind of person you would be if you were born in the year of the horse. Alright, I'm not going to ask any of you here born in the year of the horse, because he wasn't here. Thank you very much, sister. Thank you. I said I was afraid that I would ask you, especially the ladies, because the moment you say you're a horse, I know your age already. And you are exposing yourself to all the others that you are either now 12 years old, or 24 years old, or 36 years old, or 48 years old, or 60 years old, and so on. Alright, anyway, I will spare the other sisters from giving their age to the others. All right. People born in the year of the horse, usually, as according to horoscopes and so on, say that they are popular, cheerful. Our sister is popular. Perhaps that may be true. Skillful with money, perceptive, wise, talented, good with their hands, sometimes talk too much, have a weakness for members of the opposite sex, impatient, hot-blooded about everything except their daily work. I'm sure that's not true of our sister. Like entertainment and large crowds, very independent and rarely listen to advice, most compatible with tigers, dogs and sheep. I'm not sure whether she's married, and if she's married, whether she has a tiger or a dog or a sheep as a husband. Well, whatever it is, you will find that these things, these so-called predictions, are not true. They are so general that some of them can be true of those born in the year of the horse, but there are also those who are not born in the year of the horse, of which these are true also. So we cannot trust in horoscopes. We cannot trust in feng shui. In fact, these are abominations as described in the Bible. Let me show you. I noticed that some people are taking down notes. Please do not. Just listen, because I have very short time at my disposal, and I'll tell you how to take down notes at the end of this study. All right? So I'm going faster than normal. Right. We have considered the significance of the horse. Now let's consider the symbols of the horse. Why the horse in the year of the horse? Well, this horse is taken from the horoscope, and it is the seventh animal in the cycle of 12 animals. It would begin with the rat, the cow, and so on, right down, and this is the seventh one, the year of the horse. It is viewed as a symbol of bravery and strength, and these traits are associated with the horse: intelligence, endurance, speed, perseverance, and so on. For all those who are born in the year of the horse, I want to say this: we must have nothing to do with horoscopes. Horoscopes are not sanctioned in the Bible. In fact, the scriptures are against spiritism, and horoscopes and soothsaying are branches of spiritism that the Lord God calls an abomination in the Bible. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, we have said to us that spiritism is really an abomination. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughters pass through the fire, one who practices witchcraft, a soothsayer, one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. All who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So let us have nothing to do with all these things. You know, sometimes we will wake up and then look at the star paper, and the first thing we look at is a star scope. See, what is the prediction for us for that day? Is it not better for us when we wake up in the morning, read God's word and see what God has to say? Then we will benefit more in that way. Alright, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 19, to continue, tells us about a prophet that was to come. This is a true prophet. And of course, this is a prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet who will come. And he came. And therefore, in that way, we could tell whether a prophet would be true or false. The standard of judgment would be a prophecy made by a true prophet would come to pass, whereas a prophecy made by a false prophet would not do so. And we know also that these prophecies made by Samuel, by Moses, by Daniel, by the minor prophets, all of them, and Isaiah included, pointed to the coming of the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all these prophecies were fulfilled. Therefore, we can trust our prophet, but not these prophets, false prophets of the other groups that we have been talking about for the last few moments. With this, let's see what the Bible has to say about the horse. Now, the Bible acknowledges, actually, the qualities of the horse, that there is speed associated with the horse. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 16. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. And so we find that swiftness is associated with horses. And because of that, people want to use horses to help them. Strength and safety, Psalm 33, 17. And horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. There is strength in the horse, and people depend upon the horse for it. But the Bible says, no, you do not depend upon the horse for safety. You do not depend on the horse for speed. In fact, the horse is not to be your dependent. You are to depend upon the Lord God. Now, what I have done for this study is to take my concordance, look up the word horse or horses, and find out where they are. They occur in the Bible, put them together, and there are 154 occurrences of the word horse and horses. Put them together and see what I can do with them by stringing them together and get a message from this. And this is the result of my study as we consider the 154 occurrences of the word horse or horses. No, I won't take you to the 154 occurrences of the word, because you will be here for a long, long time. So I will just take a few occurrences of this word horse, put the references together, and then see what message we can get. And the first study, the first outline, or the first heading that I can give you concerning this message of the horse is that, one, be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Psalm 32 verse 9. It is used of a horse, or of a people, quick to do their own thing. Those people who would not consult God concerning decisions to be made in their lives, who were quick to make their decisions without asking God for counsel, these people would be like horses. Now, young people who, after having coming out of school, waiting for jobs and so on, quickly seize opportunities to apply for jobs and so on, well, if you do not seek the Lord for counsel, then you are like the horses, quick to do your own thing without seeking God for counsel. But let's see. God says, everyone turned to his cause as the horse rushed to battle. The horse is noted for its speed. And you are like a horse. If you make decisions without God, and you just do it under your whim and fancy. Right. These people referred to, those people who tend to their own causes as the horse rush to battle, they refuse, A, to obey God's word. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. Let's read that text. But this thing commanded them, saying, God says, obey my voice. But what did they do? They hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. They refused to listen to God's word. Therefore, in that way, they will be like horses. Second, they walk in his ways. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. But what did they do? They walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. And that's the result. Thirdly, God says, if you do what I tell you to do, that it may be well unto you. But what did they do? They went backward and not forward. And so God would like us to be wealth, to prosper, to be successful. Now let's look at this word wealth. It's very interesting. The word wealth is from a Hebrew word which means to make well. And literally, it means that God wants you to have a sound mind, a beautiful character, or figuratively to be happy, to be successful in life, to be right. But if you refuse to obey God, to walk in His ways, then He cannot wish you well. Therefore, for this Chinese New Year, to those of us here, God wishes us well. A happy and prosperous, successful Chinese New Year to all concerned. What a great wish if we could just walk in God's ways and obey God. Firstly, we find that we should not be like a horse, because the word horse is used for people who are quick to do their own thing. Secondly, it's also used of people not quickened to the signs of the times, meaning for people who are not aware of the signs of the times that are developing around them and of the forthcoming event of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in history, we need to see what was coming. The horses are coming. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 16. God warned the people of Israel. In Jeremiah 8:16, the snorting of his horses was heard from them. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. Jeremiah warned the people of Israel. The enemies are coming from the north, from Dan right down to Beersheba, and they are coming. He was referring to Nebuchadnezzar and his army, the Babylonians. They are coming so near, the snorting of the horses could be heard already, but they were not quickened to the nearness and the imminence of danger. They still disobeyed God, they still walked not in God's ways, and the result, they were caught captives, and for 70 years, they were in the enemy's land, in captivity. And so we find that when God gives us a warning, let us beware. Beware of the surrounding signs that are developing around us. Let us beware. Let us be quick. So we find the northern army of Babylon came along down and attacked Israel and then took Israel into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. They are not walking in God's ways, for they are disobeying God. Right. Now we ask ourselves, what has this got to do with us? That happened in the past. All right, they were disobedient and God sent in the horses from Babylon and they were in captivity for 70 years. But what has that got to do with us? Remember, the horses are also coming for us. Right in Revelation chapter 6, 2-8. God gave a vision to John for him to see the horses that were coming. For example, John said, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And that horse had a rider that had a bow but no arrow. And he went on to conquer the regions around him." What does that mean? It means here, one who would pronounce peace, peace, peace everywhere. And people would fall for it and would acknowledge him as the great peacemaker, the Prince of Peace so-called, and would bow down to him. Therefore, he conquered. Are we aware of this sign? That we hear the proclamation of peace here, peace there, peace. But this is past already. The first horse has gone. The second horse is coming. And we read that John saw another horse. And these horses were red. And power was given to him that was thereon to take away the peace that came with the first horse. And instead, there was bloodshed. And everywhere you would see blood all over. There would be conflicts, there would be battles, and blood would be shed. This is the second sign that we must be aware of. we must be quickened to the signs of the times, that there are signs around us, bloodshed. This is a sign that some very important event is coming. Let us beware. Another horse had come, and this red horse had come to take away the peace that was promised by the first horse. But still, John saw a third horse, and this horse was black in color. And he that sat on the horse had a balance in his hand. And that balance, of course, was for weighing, for measuring things. And at that time, a measure of wheat or three measures of barley could be sold for a denarius. A denarius is the wage of one day's work. And that means inflation coming in, famine coming in, not enough food. People work very hard for one whole day and they do not earn enough money even to feed themselves. Inflation has set in. And if we see these things around us, let us be careful. The great and the mighty event is coming. We see peace, but there's no peace. We see bloodshed and conflict and battles all over around us. Be careful. Thirdly, we see inflation. And finally, we see a pale horse. The pale horse comes, and on the pale horse sat him that was called Death, and Hades followed with him. Of course, with people dying out of conflicts, with people dying out of famine, starvation, and so on, soon they would die. And as they died, they would go into the place called Hades, the place of the departed dead, waiting for the judgment day that will come. This is the last horse that we would see before the great event takes place. Therefore, you find that the horse is used of a people quick to do their own thing, of a people quickened, not quickened to the signs of the times, not wary of what's developing, or concerning the event that will come, for which these signs are given. I'll talk about it later on. But in the meanwhile, this word horse is also used of God's people who must be quick to know the times and the seasons. That when we see these signs developing around us, let us be quick to be alert to what is going to come to pass. Know the times and the seasons. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7 says, "My people know not the judgments of the Lord." And in the New Testament, we need Romans 13:11. Now is high time to awake out of our sleep, to rise up to the times, to redeem the time, for the days are evil, and to realize that now is the time, now is the day of salvation. So these are things we need to look into now, especially those of us who live in this country, and as we see things are developing around us, let us beware. More about this as we go on. Alright, so be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Second, believe not in a horse, though a horse is strong. This applies particularly to individual Christians, how they should behave in such times. Negatively, our strength will fail without God. Psalm 33:17, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Be it found in horses, because they are many. Or in chariots, we read, "Woe to those who rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many." Or even in horses, as well as in the chariots, because of their multitude, because they are strong. Let us beware that we don't trust on these things. Namely, the horse, the chariot, and the horseman. What are they? Now, I would like to apply this to what is developing around here. Today, we find there's a tremendous threat on the name of God. And today, we find that many Christians have been led into the belief that we can trust in horses, we can trust in chariots, we can trust in horsemen. What do I mean? There are people who say that we can trust in horses, their ability, the natural powers of things, their natural powers to do things, their ability to fight for their own rights. in chariots, perhaps in the constitution of the country, that they can rely on the constitution of the country to protect their rights. And yet we know that today, that the powers that be have manipulated this right of ours in the constitution and have even adversely affected those who so believe in this constitutional rights. And what about the horsemen, those protesters and others who are with us? Or we can all protest together. There are many who are against. We forget about God, that in all these events, God is in sovereign control. Without God, all these, our dependence on chariots, on horses and horsemen, will fail miserably. God has his own majestic horses and chariots of fire. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. We read that the Israel army, the Israel camp, was surrounded by the Syrian armies all around. And one day Elisha's servant came out, and then he saw these chariots and armies around, and he cried out, "Oh, woe! We have no way to escape anymore." Then Elisha came forth and told him, "Do not be afraid, for those that are with us are more than those that are against us." And he called upon the Lord to open the eyes of the servant, and the servant saw beyond the Syrian army five chariots of fire, God's own chariots of fire, God's horses, all surrounding the Syrian army. God has his own horses. We must trust God to do a lot of to do his own thing. Let's carry on. So negatively, our strength will fail without God. Positively, our strength should focus on God. Psalm chapter 20 and verse 7. Not in material props, but chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, not in natural powers. That's what the horses are meant. But in God's supernatural and powerful name, remember his name. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. As I said, today the name of God is threatened. We must go out in the name of God. We must trust God to work out his name. God will not allow his name to be blasphemed. We can be sure of that. So we must trust God, remember his name. Let his name be the watchword for us this new year as we go forward in 2014. Remember his name. Now, Psalm chapter 20, I shall refer this to you later on again, is a tremendous chapter regarding the name of God. If you read Psalm 27, his name is our deliverance when the path is dark. His name is our defense when the path is hard. His name is our delight when things are good with us. Chapter 20, these three verses have the name of God occurring again and again. So rejoice in God in times of prosperity. Rely on God in times of adversity. Remember God for time and eternity. We must go on with in the name of God. Right. Thirdly, affirmatively, let our strength be in faith, trusting God. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Do we believe that? Or do we believe in the things that we can see, the chariots, the horsemen, the horses, and we go out with those things in mind? Or will we just trust God to work out his way, to break down the bamboo wall, to break down the iron curtain, to break down the Berlin Wall in his own time, in his own way? Do we believe that? That when his name is at stake, he will not let it be down, let it be pulled down. He will glorify his own name. God's strength is superior to any might. Hosea chapter 1, verse 7 has this to say, "I will save them by the Lord, their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen." No, God will not use these things. God's spirit is supreme over any might. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 God has this to say, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, the multitude of horses. Not by power, the might of horses. Not but by my spirit, saith the mighty Lord of hosts. So we have to trust God to help us to go forward, to march onward for Him. Right. So be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Lastly, behave not like a horse. This is regard to our own individual life, because a horse is stubborn. Psalm 32 verse 9. Be ye not like the horse, or like the mule that have no understanding. As the Lord speaks to us even this morning, let us not be stubborn. Let us not be like the mule, very stubborn and will not listen to his ways. It needs the whip for control. You know, sometimes in our life, the Lord sends us sicknesses, the Lord sends us ailments, aches here and there, and sometimes suffering. Well, for that, He is using His whip. Why? He is trying to control us, to trust Him more. We read in Proverbs 26:3, we need a whip for the horse, otherwise we may become too headstrong. Be under the master's direction. Psalm 32:8. He says, he had his promise, I will lead him with my eye. I will lead him in the direction that I will show him. Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 11. It says that God loveth whom he chasteneth. And so, when God uses the whip, it is for our good. Because he loves us, not because he does not love us. So, when we are going through suffering and trouble, know that God is in control. It needs the bit and bridle for constraint, or we will just rush headlong into things. Psalm 32:9. Be ye not like the horse that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. What is this bit and bridle? The bit is that little metal in the mouth of the horse for the rider to maneuver the horse around. It's a small little thing, and as James says, it controls the whole body, so that with a slight pull of by the rider, the horse knows where to turn. A small thing, but it's important. Just as a rudder to a big ship, the small rudder can control a big ship. Surrender your whole life to the Lord. But not only your whole life, you need also to surrender all those small little corners in your life. Let Him take care. Then He will lead us, He will guide us, He will teach us. Let us not rush headlong to what we want to do. Alright. It needs the hook for compulsion. It needs the whip. It needs the bit and the bridle. It needs the hook. There are horses in the future. Ezekiel 38 verse 4. That when God prophesies that He will bring these horses forth. In Ezekiel 38 and verse 4. That will be in the day of the Lord. It is not come yet, but it is coming. I will bring the horses forth. The horses will not want to come out. But God will put hooks in the noses of the horses. And God will pull them out. Who and what are these horses? First, these horses will be pulled from all over the earth. Ezekiel 38, 2 to 8. Number one. The armies in the north to the valley, in the north of Israel, those in Russia, Iran, Germany, and so on, all those countries will be pulled out of their comfort zone to attack Israel, to fulfill God's plan for Israel in the future, in the day of the Lord. And they will gather, and God then will destroy these very enemies of Israel in the valley of Hamengor, just near to the Dead Sea. Not this area. It's going to be a place of tremendous events to come. Then, not only the kings from the north will come down to attack Israel, all kings, neutral or otherwise, will be gathered together by God, and they will gather to the valley of Armageddon. Here is a Dead Sea. And so we find that these armies from all over the world, all the kings, will come and will have their last final battle with God's army, and they will be destroyed. But not only that, all nations will be gathered together in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that is confirmed for us by Joel. In the valley of Jehoshaphat. So there will be great, tremendous happenings around Israel. And we see the signs now. We see them moving. The latest one is, of course, Ukraine and the rebellion and association with Russia. And so these things are developing. Beware, the sign is near. Now, as these horses are being pulled out from all over the earth by God to concentrate on Israel, so God will also work among those under the earth, so that from the bottomless pit, God will gather together also the spirits, the demons. They will come out from the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. And in verse 7, that these demons and spirits will appear as horses, as locusts, shaped like horses. And they will start attacking too. So it will be a demonic warfare as well. And we find this confirmed for us in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, when Joel described that these will appear as locusts with the appearance of horses. And so we find that there will be horses, so to speak, coming from the bottomless pit. And then from heaven, the horses will come out also. Who will come out from heaven? Well, Revelation 19, 11, 16, there will be the white horse. And there will be the appearance of the faithful and true on the white horse. Jesus Christ will come on the white horse. And he will come ready to attack all these horses that have been gathered in the earth. Then, what else will follow? The armies of saints will also follow in Revelation 19, 13. All of us who have been raptured earlier, after our judgment seat at the Bema, then we shall be married to the bridegroom, and then we shall come down with the bridegroom on white horses, and we shall fight together against the enemies of the Lord. The army of saints you follow also on white horses. And so the horses will come. The horses will come from all over the earth, from under the earth, the bottomless pit, from heaven, the horses will come. And they will gather together to fulfill God's program for the world. For you, for me, for the church, for the nations around, for the Gentiles and for the Jews. Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Believe not in a horse, though a horse is strong. Behave not like a horse, because a horse is stubborn. Very stubborn. Hard to pull it along. Alright. So these are horses. In the year of the horse, let us beware that we be not like the horse, believe not in the horse, behave not like the horse. In conclusion, as I said earlier, I'll leave behind with you Psalm chapter 20. It is a lovely psalm that you should take with you for this Chinese New Year. Be always remembering the Lord of hosts. Psalm chapter 20, first I give you the New Year benediction. Psalm 20 verses 1 to 4. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. May the Lord bless you with this New Year benediction. I also would like to pass on to you a banner. Today we see a lot of banners. People gathering together to protest. But I give you this banner, the banner of the Lord. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That's the banner we gather under. And finally, give you the New Year belief. Reassure you of your assured of a belief and faith in the Lord God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The day is coming when we shall be victorious. I, every one of you, should be assured of your faith in the Lord. We, all of us, should join together in our assurance, together in the name of the Lord, under this banner of the name of God. So, I take this opportunity to wish all of you a belated, blessed, fruitful, and prosperous Chinese New Year. And I use the word prosperous not in the term of the Chinese using it, wishing you wealth and riches and so on, but I wish you the prosperity that comes along when you read God's Word. Then you will prosper. May the Lord bless you with much prosperity as we go along for the rest of this year. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So, that ends your study of the horse of the year. And if you have difficulty taking down notes, then I invite you to visit my website and you can hear this study orally again, have the outlines, and also look at the PowerPoint slides. So you can just visit the website and then everything will be well with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this study of the horse. We pray that we may not be like horses, quick to do our own thing, stubborn in our ways, and not listening and succumbing to Thy direction and Thy word. Help us, O Lord, as we continue in this year to be faithful to Thee, to trust in Thee, and not to trust in horses, chariots, and horsemen. Many that they be, encouraging us to trust in material things, whatever, Lord, help us look beyond and see that there are those who are with us, that they are more with us than those who are against us, that we have the Lord to support us, that help us, O Lord, to go forth in the name of our Lord, because we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.